Welcome to the Kosafa Show with Mark Gleason and Nick Say.
Welcome to our special 100th edition of the Kosafa Show. It is a century of episodes that have taken you across the Southern African region and beyond over the last few years. This time round, we chat to former Namibia international Salome Iyambo, who is the owner and coach of Beauties FC, one of two teams that will debut at the expanded CAF Women's Champions League Kosafa qualifiers to be played in Johannesburg this month. Beauties are an historic club in Namibia, but have been drawn in a tough pool at the regional championship that also includes two-time winners Mamelodi Sundowns and Toppo FC of Malawi and Zambia's Zesco Ndola Girls. Only the winner of the tournament advances to the continental finals. Iyambo knows the task at hand for his side, but says their appearance at the August 22-31 tournament is about a lot more than what happens on the pitch. So, Coach, obviously your club Beauties FC will be making your debut at the CAF Women's Champions League Kosafa qualifiers. You have Mamelodi Sundowns in your group, and Toppo FC from Malawi, and Zesco's and Ndola Girls. Just your thoughts after the draw that was held?
No, thank you very much. You're rightfully right. Those are my opponents in Group A. Of course, to us, it is a very tough group. I would rather prefer to call it a group of death for the competition. It is what it is. For us, it's more than just a draw. We believe this is a true test of our strengths. That comes along to test our character and ambition, but also to emphasize that we are full of respect for all our opponents, having looked up at their history, rich history that they possess individually as clubs. But we do not fear anyone. We might be debutant, we might be underdogs, but we are more than ready to fight and just let the battle begin.
And as you say, you know, just being in this competition is a major achievement in itself because it means that you are the champions of Namibia. What does it mean for you and your players and the club to have reached this level?
We are immune to being champions. We have been champions for many times before the establishment of the Women's Champions League. We are also in a country that have undergone some serious leadership issues, going through two normalization committees and leadership that have crumbled as well, that brought about football to come to a standstill in Namibia. Hence, rebounding back after all these hurdles, we came back to just clinch on the title. It was just a testimony for us to show that we regain our glory days as we have them. Personally, as a player, I have won everything in this country in terms of league. I've only lost it once in my heydays, and now winning it as a coach, it's something great. To my players who are young, majority of them are winning this for the very first time in their history, and really exciting for them to be in this space, this time, getting all this limelight. Is their time to enjoy and just to show that, look, we are not a league that is only won by one team, but the competitiveness between clubs, it is there. It was not easy. It could have been won by any of the top four teams. That's how tough it was, and we managed to achieve that, and it is a good time for us and space for the players.
And you touched on it a little bit there about, you said you've got a young squad. If you do just look at your team, is it made up mostly of youngsters? Do you have a good mix between youngsters and experience?
I do have a mixed up. You know, in every club, Kosafa will allow you to bring 21 players. You can't bring everybody that you wish to. But it is a mix of both young and old. I have one of the oldest players in the league in Namibia, in a 40-plus age, that brings about experience to be able to advise others on the field and change the dynamic of play on the field. But also young players, the youngest player in our team being 15 years old. I think we have two or three of that. The mix is quite good. Experience, maybe not at the same level, even though we have two, three, four that do have international experience in terms of national team. But we are bringing a team that is just full of life, a team that wants to fight, a team that stands for each other, and that's what we are bringing.
Yeah, and I think we saw at the recent Region 5 games that were held in Windhoek just how well the Namibian under 20 women's side did. Generally, if you look at women's football in Namibia, are you quite pleased with where it is at? Is there more work to do? How do you see the situation?
We could have been far. This is not where we should have been. I just alluded to a leadership crisis in Namibia that gave us two normalization committees and leadership that crumbled in between the two normalization committees. Should football not have stopped back then, we could have been very far. We are not very pleased of where we are, but we are working on it as individuals that are interested in the women's game and the development of it in Namibia. We have to push and do more just to bring it to the level of all other nations to be able to compete with ease and not to do things the hard way. I mean, back in the days, we were the first opponent that South Africa would always request, for example, to play against, and we would whip other teams of Botswana and others, and those tables have changed. They have turned. And now we are chasing a little bit on the back foot, but yeah, we wish to rebound back and just to do things the right way for us to be extremely competitive.
And if we just go back to Beauties FC, I mean, you touched on it there, an incredibly successful club in terms of winning league championships, etc. Just can you tell our listeners a little bit about the history of the team and perhaps your personal history with them?
Beauties Football Club was formed in 2003. A team that was formed between two secondary schools and two districts that joined together. It was formerly known as Okahanja Beauties, taking up a township name that is nearest to the capital city, being Windhoek, 60 kilos out. And it played in the National League that was held in the capital city. Won everything since then until around 2011. Lost to their junior team in 2012, and then football came to a standstill for some time, rebounds back after COVID, and never won anything after COVID until now. But all in all, this club in the past has been known for its agility, for its resilience, its titles, you know, the will to win. Have produced a lot of players for national teams in the past. You would find that in the first 11 would always consist of maybe 8 or 9 coming from this team. But of course, I had left for further studies in Europe in 2018, loaned all my players out. When I returned, of course, it's a question of are they willing to come back. Not all of them came back. Majority have then joined a club that was Tura Magic, now known as the FC Ongos, that have featured before. And we had to restart and regroom young players who were an under-17 team that then proceeds to grow, and those are the fruits we are reaping today in this club.
And then if we just talk about you, as far as I'm aware, and please correct me if I'm wrong, you are the owner-coach of the team, is that correct?
Yes, I am the club owner and the head coach of the club. Of course, I do not possess the A license yet, so we will be having a guest coach with us for the compliance of the regulations, as it's normally done. We are a compliance club. And I took ownership of this club in 2015. To date, I've been running it without any sponsor, but merely from savings, and yes, I am who I am.
Yeah, and you, of course, are a former international footballer yourself. Are you able just to share a little bit about your own playing career?
Very well. I have played for the Namibia Women's Football Senior National Team for 10 good years of my career. Botswana would know me very well. My first hat-trick was scored against Botswana in Namibia at Sam Nujoma Stadium. I played many positions. I was that donkey of the team where the coach needed me. They placed me there. There were exciting times. So it only implies that we are not new to the game. We have been there. I've never played for any other club other than this, except in my further studies days in Europe. I managed to just keep fit and busy with Futsal Zurich FC in Switzerland, That was a year and a half. And I came back just to continue what I love doing most, and that is changing lifestyles of young girls and just seeing them really showcase what they love most, and that's the talent that they have, given football is the number one sport in the world.
And if we just touch on that, I mean, obviously, running a football club, you're there to play the game, etc. But I should imagine, as in many parts of the world, young girls playing football is a lot more than just playing the sport. Is that sort of a driving force behind the club to create community and to help girls fulfill their potential?
You see, number one is a passion. When you have a passion for something, you have the will to really make things happen for these girls. Many a times you look at them and you feel like you want to give up, but every time you look at them and you try to imagine what will become of them if I don't do this any longer, they are so full of life, and the only thing they enjoy is football. The only language they communicate best is football. And football being a catalyst or tool to change lives of this young individual, it's something that is more befitting and giving you back a lot of return on investments when you look at it. Currently, we are talking to some government institutions that want to take charge of the team to assist us because of the work that we've put in, and they're seeing really the effort that was put into this team. And this is what you want to see, to be able to see these players being absorbed by the system. That means them clinching finally to a job of a lifetime, where you have a salary until your retirement age, where you can take care of your family, yourself, and add to national building in so doing. So sport is a great tool, catalyst to change communities. We do have some scholars in the team, legal personnel, engineers, and individuals that are studying in different fields, but not many. You find that majority are those who couldn't make it at school or couldn't proceed with university because that buzzer is just not coming, and they're literally just seated at home. And for us to be able to keep the momentum going and to give them that something positive to think about and do with their lives was just to introduce this. Mind you, I used to lead a project called Girls and Goals, which was about changing lives of young girls, using football as a tool to change behavior, to reshape it and direct it in how a young girl should behave and maintain and have a voice and be confident and just be able to tell her story. And some of this really pay out because some of these key players, the old players that you'll be seeing in this team, are exactly built from this project.
And you, I believe as well, are a FIFA master, is that correct? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, FIFA Master, this is the most exciting turnover of my life. I'm a teacher by calling. I couldn't continue teaching because sport, my love for sport was just enormous. It was beyond any other thing. I quit sport education to join sports. I was a sport official managing a region, and I work in this division for 10 years under the Ministry of Youth and Sports in Namibia. It's when I learned about the FIFA Masters, because I've attended so many FIFA courses and people talk about this. I took a chance to apply and I got in 2018. So I packed my bags for London without having any savings on me. And I managed to get a bursary for that. I completed successfully. I must tell you that I was the only African in this class. There was another mixed race individual, but I was literally the only black person in the class during my year out of 28 other students. It wasn't easy. I had to fight not only for Namibia, but to protect the name Africa in terms of class discussion in sports and what have you. Many a times you mocked Africa, you can't even host the World Cup, you can't even host Olympics and all this, but I have to stand firm. Upon completion of my FIFA Master in Zurich, Switzerland, the day of my thesis presentation, I got a call from FIFA to go for an interview that I had applied for a job there. I had to take trains in between in the morning to ask my professor to run to Zurich FIFA headquarters and come back to Neuchâtel, the university where I was doing my presentation. 5 minutes in between was the only time I had upon my arrival door to door with a train. After my thesis presentation, 2 days later, I had to pack my bags to come to Namibia when I got a call that I got a job at FIFA. But I had to come home, greet my family, and I headed back again to FIFA headquarters. That is where I've been for the past 2-3 years. Was lucky to do the Qatar World Cup as a FIFA staff. And upon returning, once my visa was expired, I was employed as a consultant for women's football in Africa, something that is really dear to my heart. And that's what I've been doing, consultancy work, and still putting in my effort into the club that I love most. This is my part of just giving back to what have built me, because I felt women's football really took me places where not even the best education would take me. I went there because of that drive and the discipline that I possessed during my career.
Yeah, so, I, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe you are a CAF women's coach instructor as well as all of that. Is that, you know, important to you? And you did touch on it there about giving back to the game. You know, the game has given you a lot, and now is your time to give back.
Yeah, I have been training 2016 as a CAF women football instructor. Unfortunately, I've not really been used in that area except locally, that I've done it a few times inland. I have been giving other courses in management and not necessarily the coaching aspect, even though I do have it. Something that I want to pursue. This is why I also want to up my game in the licensing certification that I need to go and enroll for my B and eventually do an A license. I think I'll end there. But yes, giving back is something that is very, very important. And if that is what anybody feels, that inner voice that speaks inside you, don't let it down. It's because that inner voice knows you so well than any other person watching you, and the abilities, the capabilities that you have to be able to give back, give it a try is the best thing you could ever do.
And if we look from your playing days to now, so to speak, and we look, let's take CASAFA, for example. I mean, the CASAFA this year will host 5 international women's tournaments, starting from schools football for girls, under 17 women, under 20 women, which was part of the Region 5 games, the CASAFA Women's Championship for senior international football, and then, of course, the CAF Women's Champions League CASAFA qualifiers. From when you were playing to now, there's obviously been a big shift in women's football, not just in the region, but in Africa as well. That must, I guess, be exciting to you, but do we have, is there more to go? Can we build further on that?
I should admit that during our heydays, the only time that the national team would play is when you either go to CASAFA, which sometimes you are told there's no money for a nation to send a football team, rather a male team, or perhaps when you need to play qualifiers, and many a times you play 1 or 2 games and you are knocked out. We're unlucky, it's either South Africa or Nigeria that usually was our opponent. But yes, as you rightfully mentioned, that under 20, under 17, CASAFA Senior Championship, Champions League. I was fortunate enough to witness some of these events in Namibia, as we have hosted the under 17 and under 20 respectfully. And now coming to take part in the Champions League. And of course, after that, we know that the CASAFA Women Championship is going to take center stage in South Africa. There is, you know, that change in drive and the way of doing things. And MAs now realizing that because of the drive from FIFA coming up with a women's football division, CAF having a women's football division where you are told you need to enter both your male and your female team in this type of competition, even though I still believe there is room for change, really for us to not only give women a chance because it's a chance, but they should rightfully be invited to be given what is equally befitting for them, then I believe all will be okay. I mean, look at the format we are playing now. It has nothing to do with leadership in terms of football. It has to do with the business community. Everyone would always rush to give a sponsorship to a male team or club, for example, and not to the women, which will force us now to play in a competition, in a tournament-based competition for Champions League, as opposed to the men playing home and away because of their ability to do that, then the financial boost that CAF is giving, that is not coming down to the women because of the will to come on board and really invest in a women's game and be able to reap fruit out of this. Also, it comes from us. Do we support our own initiatives that we have? Because if you have a women's match, will it pull a crowd to be able to come and buy tickets and be able to add revenue to these individual clubs and for the business community to see that, yes, indeed, let us invest here because something good is happening. So this change and drive cannot be based upon zonal associations or MAs alone. It starts from individuals. It goes to teams and clubs before it can build up there. But generally, a good shift of mindset is there, improved in terms of competitions that are set. But it's something that we can still work on, really, to be able to put the women's game on the map, not as a fourth item, but it should be able to pull crowd and be a standalone entity or a love mark that people fall in love with and be able to invest in it.
That's it for our 100th episode of the CASAFA Show, and here's to the next 100. Don't forget you can listen to more of our podcasts at CASAFA's YouTube channel, iTunes, and Spotify, and get the latest news via our brand new website at www.casafa.com.